Miss, let me say, if you think you're hot, you want to try a gothic outfit. My colleague Sarah shared a piece called Sharon's Christmas Prayer. It's lodged itself in me somehow. I should like to share it with you. So Sharon's Christmas Prayer. She was five, sure of the facts, and recited them with slow solemnity, convinced every word was revelation. She said they were so poor that they only had peanut butter and jelly sandwiches to eat, and they went a long way from home without getting lost. The lady rode a donkey, the man walked, and the baby was inside the lady. They had to stay in a stable with an ox and an ass. But three rich men found them because the star littered the roof. Shepherds came and you could pet the sheep but not feed them. Then the baby was bonded. And do you know who he was? His small eyes inflated like 50-cent pieces. The baby was God. And she jumped in the air and whirled around, dove into the sofa and buried her head into a cushion, which is the only proper response to the news of the incarnation. Christmas is for the children. Oh, of course, Emmanuel, God with us, is for all of us, but children are more capable of the wonder, more inclined to bury their head under a cushion in ecstatic joy, which is certainly amongst the proper responses to the incarnation. The fact that we celebrate the birth of a baby born nestled in a feeding trough has, however, the potential to soften even curmudgeonly adult defences. We know that many of the carols fantasise about the perfection of the baby Jesus. No crying he makes. Yeah, right. But there is something about a newborn, perfect innocence, absolute potential. All that melts even hard and weary hearts. It's like the childlike joy that is the right response, joy that is spontaneous, that simply bubbles to the top and just overflows. It is this joy and this wonder which seems that it is the only proper response to the overflowing of God's love. So I think that we begin in wonder and in joy at Christmas, and in a certain sense, that's it. To try and say or do anything more is a bit like looking into the solar eclipse with a naked eye. We do not have the facility to do that, and it would be wrong to try. Christmas is for the children, and for the child inside us. There is another sense of wonder, though, as we reflect on what it could be that has come to pass in Bethlehem. We wonder about making some sense of it. We might ask and wonder in this other sense about what it is that God has done in the birth of the Christ child. I came across this lovely description of having a fish tank. I wonder if any of you have a fish tank. Finding Nemo caused an upsurge in the ownership of fish tanks. Maybe you've brought somebody or bought somebody you love a fish tank this Christmas. Love or loathe. Wrapping it would be interesting, I'd suggest. Anyway, the writer suggests, the arduous demands of aquarium management have taught me deep appreciation for the difficulty involved in running a universe on dependable laws. To my fish I am a deity, and the one who does not hesitate to intervene when something is wrong. I often long for a way to communicate with those small-brained water dwellers. Out of ignorance, they perceive me as a constant threat. I cannot convince my fish of my true concern. To change their perceptions would require a form of incarnation, I think. End of quote. Thus, this fish owner intuits that in order to show his concern for the fish, he would need to become a fish. This assumes that fish even have an ability to express concern for each other. What God has done in choosing to dwell in fullness with us is the most radical effort to express love and to seek communion with us. And it is important for us Christians to see that there is a trajectory in Scripture of a number of God's efforts to act in love. That is what the Incarnation is, of course, an act of love. The Hebrew Scriptures have a word for this kind of love, hesed. Rabbi Jonathan Sacks tells us hesed is one of the Torah's most important framing devices. Hesed is a special and particular kind of love. Hesed is not like charity, which is love in action, but at a distance, and one offers charity for the poor and for the stranger. Hesed is an act of love that one does for all, for the poor and the rich, for strangers and for loved ones. Thus, the first act of hesed in the scripture is when God clothes Adam and Eve as they leave the Garden of Eden. Another key moment is when God attends the burial of Moses on Mount Nebo. These great acts of kindness from God encourage the rabbis to reflect about our duty to do these kinds of acts for others, to clothe the naked, to attend funerals, to support the grieving, and so on. I don't want to go down the road of discussing rabbinic commentaries, but I do want to draw your attention to a long narrative that exists in Scripture of God seeking us out. Indeed, God's first words that even Adam hear from God when he comes into the garden is, "Where are you?" God is seeking us out in this long history, and the Christ child is one more risk-filled event, one more risk-filled effort to communicate with us. It is an absolute commitment, to be sure, but God has this long habit of trying to communicate with us and hoping for a response. The other thing that's worth noticing is the rabbis talk about hesed as a most commonly a gift not of things, but the gift of person. Hesed is the gift that Rabbi Sacks tells us costs less and more at the same time. Less because gestures often cost little or nothing, more because it takes time and attention. It is existential generosity, the gift of self to another. Likewise, what Christmas recalls is God gives of God's very self. Can you see, when we think about presents at Christmas time, we should really spell the word with a C. The gift that we celebrate right now is presence, God's hesed. So what? Why did God go to such outrageous lengths to communicate, to be with us, to love us? I've already indicated the rabbis think that God's acts of hesed give rise to a whole host of duties. Given the gift of the incarnation, given God's ultimate act of condescension, what are we supposed to do? Well, here again, I think it helps to think more about gifts and gift giving. It's so much of what Christmas is about. We're often exhorted to think about the true meaning of Christmas, and supposedly that isn't about gifts. Well, I do think it is about gifts. It's just it's not about stuff. It's about the kind of gift, the gift of loving presence. And while we don't have a word to distinguish that kind of loving presence in English, in Hebrew it's called hesed. The thing about the true gift is that it is just given. It lies outside any economy where there is a given or determined response. After all, if I should give you a gift and expect a certain thing in response, then it isn't really a gift. It's a kind of an exchange. It invites an economy. This gives rise to the thought by some that there is no such thing as a real gift, that every gift creates obligations or duties, even if it's an expected thank you. Every gift, they claim, comes with strict strings attached. But I do think the gift of God in Christ, in the Christ child, is the true gift. It is made in absolute love for us. Yes, it is driven by the desire to receive our love in return, and yet it doesn't demand obligation or give rise to duty, because God knows that you cannot be obliged to love anyone. Love has to be given and returned freely. It is never a duty. In a certain sense, we are not supposed to do anything in response to the gift of God with us. Oh yes, we are to be filled with joy, but we don't have to do anything except receive the gift. The riddle, however, is that having received the gift, we are never the same. For God becoming human has forever changed what it means for us to be human. Every human life is imbued with new dignity, and in response we know that we should honor that dignity in every single individual. It is why we are moved to act for the poor and the stranger, those near and those far. We don't have to, we just do. Love, real love, does that. I'm guessing that for everyone in this room tonight, that just once in your life, someone has done something, gone out of their way for you, and it has changed your attitude, even just for a bit. Inexplicably, you find yourself, even if it's just momentarily, kinder and a better kind of person. Not because you had to, or because it was required, or it was a duty. No, you are better, kinder, more lovely, because you have been treated that way. Likewise, we can see in the response that Christmas invokes in us a certain overflowing of a better, kinder, more loving nature from each of us, because, well, just because God is with us. Not a momentary thing, but a forever thing, and we are changed. All the world is changed for Emmanuel. Bury your head in the pillow one more time. Think and feel of the joy and the wonder of God. We are for eternity changed by this baby, hesed, this Christ child.